all the descriptions from the data changes and the definitional changes apply also to some of the data you see in Scorecard.
Right.
So Molly's going to walk you through this. Our objective is essentially to show you what the changes are in the scorecard, what the context is, and see whether or not it's okay with you.
All right. Well, as you've just been immersed in much of the data that is then compiled in this, and also we'll do a quick review back to some other data earlier in September that was presented by Captain Matthews regarding student achievement, because those are directly also connected, impacted with the scorecard. A couple of things to keep in mind about the scorecard as you look at this year's results and the context by which the scorecard is developed and displays the information. And then we'll walk through the proposed scorecard for this year, and then listen to some feedback from you about it and some discussion and revisions. So a quick overview, a couple of highlights. This is the student achievement information that Catherine presented in September, I believe it was September 11th. And I think it's important to keep in mind what you see here when we get into looking at the scorecard, some of the contrasting measurements and indicators that you will see that I think without this you would maybe be shaking your head and going, thinking, I thought we had some other kind of information. So a couple of areas I want to highlight on here. If you look and see, look at third grade reading, for instance, and it shows that compared to the state, we were 2.9 percentage points better performing than the state was this year. Another one, for instance, to keep in mind is writing at grade 4.4, grade 7 writing as well, grade 10 reading, and grade 10 writing. And those were all celebrations in terms of positive gains, and in almost every area, if you recall, we were above the state. When you look at some additional information, and this was compared to state and district results from our fall data, and what you will notice this year, despite the up gain in terms of compared to the state, both the district and the state were down compared to the previous year. And then you see the results here. The state was flat in writing, and as a district, we have a decline in our performance. And then seventh grade writing, both state and district were flat. And then 10th grade reading, whoops. So 10th grade reading for both the state and the district were declined, and same thing for writing.
That was a question I had asked Molly at the last meeting we went to there at Jackson High School, and we saw the state's results in different districts. Mm-hmm. And one of the districts, one of the grades that I noticed in grade 4, all the writings went down across the board, you know, and I was wondering, was there a shift in the test? Could the test have a change in the test, which maybe was picked up in a negative fashion across the, all the districts, and that's why the downward trend. Were we ever able to find out if that was the cause?
Well, we presented data to you to show the state went down in certain areas across the board, and that we did not fall as much, which some erroneously interpret, quite frankly, as, oh, all we care about is being at the state. Errors, it's not so. What we're identifying is as the test changes, if we can maintain, not fall as much as the state does, and continue to work our way toward higher levels of performance, that's positive. Mm-hmm. If the state falls and you fall more, that's like simply dropping fundamentally.
Mm-hmm.
The district that you're mentioning was Snohomish, Michigan. That was, my recollection was across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So That's something that's very, that's something that's related to whatever's happening in Snohomish and its relationship to the state assessment structure. We really don't have any data about that. Nor would we be wise to offer an opinion on what's happening here. Does that make sense?
But Pam, I think you're raising one of the issues that we want to surface in terms of the context of a scorecard. So if there are changes in the test itself, that there are those fluctuations that may occur, and certainly when you look at both the state and the district having declines or dips or fluctuations, that it does raise that question. There are some changes that have an impact in terms of performance on the results.
The fundamental takeaway from this discussion is the scorecard by itself doesn't tell you that.
Right.
You can't see that.
Scorecard by itself is overly simplified.
It is.
From going, moving from year to year to year, because there's not a constant.
Exactly.
In that.
And that's one reason why when you see that on a scorecard, you see a snapshot, for our district, But then when we saw that information back at Jackson, where you could see it in every district within, in our area, you could see that downward trend. You have to take into consideration that it wasn't just your students dipping down.
That's why we're showing you this before we do the scorecard, so that you have that context. It's a drawback to a static scorecard.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's a perfect segue, Pam, as we keep moving forward. A couple of other notations with the scorecard. From year to year, and this previous presentation pointed out that there are changes over time in terms of how different indicators are calculated, the methodology, the criteria evolves or changes. The first one that we're proposing is really, I think, something that we uncovered as we updated our data. And the previous indicator for algebra in middle school stated grades 6 through 8. When you really pulled the data, sixth graders, for the most part, are not taking algebra. It is truly an exceptional sixth grader that's enrolled in algebra. There are some seventh graders. So what we're suggesting is really that this is an eighth grade measurement. It's not a 6 through 8. So on the document itself, we are proposing a modification to say grade 8. And it took us a little bit of time because we had initially quite a variation in terms of our performance from the previous year. You just heard about the changes in the on-time extended graduation rate, so reflecting those changes as well in the scorecard. And then also Allison mentioned about the HEC board changing to the Washington Student Achievement Council and their change from credits to courses. So I think often we might think the scorecard is a very fixed item from one year to the next and not thinking that there might be changes that we have to consider as we're working our way through. So as you were raising the issue and questions, Pam, about the scorecard, it is important to note that it compares only our district, not a bigger context. It is a snapshot of a set of data that has been identified. It doesn't take into account the state tests or the comparison of the state's performance over time. And then changes such as we just talked about, the changes in how different items are calculated, methodology. So the scorecard itself, and if it's easier for you, I have a hard copy to look at. You also have it on your screens right there in front of you. A couple of things that I'd like to highlight and point out to you with the scorecard document. What you will note is certainly the areas and the number of red arrows compared to what we had previously. And you will see, as we just mentioned, the changes in, for instance, that third grade reading. So it reflects as a downward trend, but going back into that context. You will see that also, for instance, in the fourth grade writing. You will see certainly an upward trend on the fifth grade science standards. Some areas, the composite scores, that's just our own internal. You will also, here's the grade 8 algebra, essentially remain flat. A new category that was shared with you in previous presentations is this annual measurable objective, the AMO. And that is the response to the waiver. The state measurement, in terms of how we calculate that, it is not broken down at a district level by grade. It is broken down by school, like at third grade and fourth grade. Mm-hmm. What they do break down for the state level is a composite of grades 3 through 10. So that's why we're presenting it to you in that fashion on here. It's also why we didn't try to put something under each one of these categories in alignment with how the earlier portrayal for the MSP indicators. And at this point, we'll discuss it. We have left targets that you established last year on the right. But our suggested.
And we did say we'd use something different than those. We just haven't done them yet.
And continuing on to page 2 of the scorecard, the measurement changes, I think, are relatively insignificant or not significant from a portrayal standpoint. They reflect probably some annual fluctuations, whether it's NCLB, teachers in their resourced areas, shifting of staff, new staff being hired, student ethnicity data, essentially again the same as the previous year. There was a 1 percentage point difference, reduction of 1% of the white and an increase of 1% of Hispanic in the demographics. And with your scorecard, some updates on some of the glossary terminology, inclusion now of the AMO, a change on the HEC board to the Washington Student Achievement Council definition, and inclusion of the 4-year and 5-year grades at this point. And just for a snapshot in terms of kind of the big picture of the green, yellow, red, perspective that we're used to in so many different ways. This is a comparison from last year to this year in terms of growth indicators of where there's improvement, where there's not change, and where we certainly have a number of changes in our indicators here. So that's a quick walkthrough of the scorecard itself. Before we kind of go into it, any questions really about the document? And I think Terry and I would say after a first year cycle through this, I think we've experienced growing pains, maturation in terms of how we work with the data, continue to use it from our end in compiling it. So again, a snapshot of identified data, the stories in other venues that you have heard, and how does that communicate?
Excuse me, it's a much more useful tool when the state scores are stable, right? To compare against. What was that?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And this seems to be a year in which there was more unstable than the previous years. Is that fair to say, or we don't know that?
You can say that I think last year was our baseline, so we didn't know the single jump.
It's not unusual to have some fluctuations. The number, we didn't go back and analyze it. It has to take some time to go back as memories have faded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's clearly affected us.
Yeah.
And a lot of other folks too. Do the changes that we've put into this thing for the current year make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they're essential calculations from state and feds change. You have to change.
Is there anything in it? Has you had a chance to look at it over the weekend? Anything catch your eye? Anything you don't like different? Anything you wonder about?
Yeah, I wonder if it's really representative of our performance.
Yeah, we talked about that at some length in cabin. It's the thermometer we're using right now to our temperature. and we moved into a bit colder climate.
Yeah.
You know, our purpose was to provide our public with information about how we're our achievement on some key indicators, but yeah, when you see the state results and you look at what happened statewide, and then we don't use that as a frame of reference, but we use the past year as a frame of reference, it doesn't seem to be really accurately indicative of our performance.
And that's a drawback to the scorecard structure. No question. The question for you is, is it substantial enough that we should pull the scorecard down because of that change in the base, if you will?
I have the feeling that once you change this, you know, and the pendulum will swing. If you take it down, somebody's gonna say something, you know, it was so bad that, you know, you're going to go back and reinvent the wheel. You need to see what the data proves and shows you for a period of time, because you can't change midstream. You have to allow it some time to ride it out, see where you go. And it's a baseline, less the previous year. There will be some dips along the road, but it's what we do with that data and how we move forward that's really important. You know, sometimes you have to take, you know, everything with it, the warts and all, and then see and progress forward with it and see how you overcome those challenges.
So, yeah.
I think there's a need, though, to augment. If you're going to do a public presentation, the public presentation is incomplete without the other two slides.
Good point.
Of the comparing to the state results.
Typically, one would add notes when there's anomalies or unique circumstances and provide some background to help explain the change or the meaning of the data. I don't know whether this format lends itself to that.
Well, either do something incorporating with the glossary page or reformat this portion of it in some way.
The other comment is that the slide that follows that one, and or if you go prior.
I think the previous one is what I'm thinking of.
That one.
That one,
and
that one.
Mm-hmm. That one.
Those two.
Mm-hmm.
I think those two are critical. Yeah.
Okay.
To include it to make sense.
Or, Ed, would you maybe want some notations that are tied and referenced back to this data, so on the scorecard itself?
Yeah, if people are going to go just to the scorecard and use that as their frame of reference and point of assessment or evaluation, I think it needs to tie back to some more explanatory data, real data, but that helps inform the evaluator of the meaning of the data.
So part of what I'm hearing is incorporating this type of display in the scorecard itself. So it's not separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is this a community report, or is this a report to the board?
It's a document that we put up on our website and everybody can see.
But is it really what we're using to communicate with the community? Or is it what we're using the board to have a tool on evaluation?
Well,
that makes a big
That's question number 500.
I know, I'm jumping ahead. Because
okay. My personal view, and everybody here is going to have a different perspective on this, but I ended up feeling like this scorecard isn't representative of what the board's looking for, or at least I as a board member am looking for. But I thought it was a good tool to portray to our constituents and stakeholders in the community in a transparent way, you know, what major indicators are and how we're doing on those. So I see this as a district scorecard rather than a board scorecard.
And it's an important piece for us to gauge the work that we're doing, but it's certainly not the only document that we look at on the board, you know, during the year to see if we accomplished what we set out to at the beginning of the year. You know, we look at the board work plan, see if we accomplished that, we look at the board goals, see if we accomplished those. So I think this is a really, really public document.
Yeah, I would agree with so. That.
And it needs context. I'm uncomfortable just sticking it out there in the form that it is without the additional context.
Yeah. Even if it means removing some of the info, right? Because we only have 1 year of data for AMO, we really need to show that. That doesn't have any same comparison to it. So it makes sense maybe to not have that, but have some additional state data that would fit on the same page, but be comparative.
I mean, does it matter how long it is? Not, you know, I mean, it's a lot of work formatting, deciding which categories, what kind of numbers in. I mean, it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a way where you don't overly fiddle with this, but supplement it with the two other documents and still call it a scorecard.
We can work with, play with, see how the formatting would work in terms of further explanation and information. You know, whether this bottom part can move to the back. Page 2, for instance, it provides some flexibility, but I think staff is very good at that layout.
Keeping it efficient.
So the categories that are on here are the ones that, you want to know.
We spent a lot of time.
Yeah. Okay. So, so what I'm hearing is maybe those that, where there are significant changes, just remove them for the time being. I think I'm hearing that. Like the MOs. Which probably will only be with us for 2 years.
That's true too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it seems that.
That's a transitional thing.
Yes.
You know, this was done in the context of a strategic plan that is going to have a life of multiple years. I think 5 is what currently is being used as a framework. You know, something that's going to be around for 2 years doesn't really fit in that format.
Okay. So we can delete the AMO.
Yeah, and just the general public, I don't know that they even know what an AMO is.
No. You know, we're at the stage where we're getting school boards across the school. As you experienced it. Or the state board.
Mm-hmm. And going back to this this chart here, where you had the different grades up there in the reading, writing, and math and science, my question, you know, as far as, you know, this is a snapshot in time, and, you know, trying to look at fourth grade writing and saying this is the reason why, and I'm not alone. I don't think I'm alone in the fact that if some parents saw that, they'd want to know why. Mm-hmm. Why is that? You know, and I would have to go back to, I'm a little uncomfortable putting that information up and not being able to share the whys. And this was the result of across the district. It may have been the text related, it may have been this, you know. In that regard, if we do put it out there, we have to have the why associated with it. Or the results of how well we did, you know, with other districts. I would think, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. You can say, okay, seventh grade writing's flat. Well, it's also double digits above the state average.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
exactly.
That makes a world of difference.
Well, I'm just thinking about designing a presentation that doesn't make your, that doesn't put people to sleep with so much data. I mean, there's so much information. We have a history of having given them highlights in your presentation, graduation rates, and fiscal accountability, and those things that really have resonated in big chunks. There's so many stories and so many messages about so many individual things. I think the complexity of this would be overwhelming in a 20-minute presentation or a half-hour presentation. So it would be helpful to decide what are those things that we consider most important, or what are those things that the public most wants to hear about. It had always been my understanding this was the board's work, not the community's work. But I've misunderstood things.
Is there any indication of how many hits this page is getting?
Or what?
We could go look and see.
How often are people going to this looking at it?
I don't think very often. We don't get any questions on it, but we can check and see.
I think the key question, I can't remember which of you asked, is does the scorecard paint an accurate picture of the student, of the district's achievement? And if you can't answer that yes, it seems to me we need to either rethink what's the purpose of the scorecard and can you accurately portray the district's achievement in this kind of very abbreviated up-down arrow sort of way, or is it, unfortunately, Mary, more data-rich in order to have that accurate portrayal?
I still think we need to be able to explain it, because if we don't explain it, somebody else is going to explain it for the public. So we better be able to explain.
Is there value in having this information, though, for you and for others, or the snapshot, quick picture look that going through many pages of other kinds of data doesn't provide? Is that certainly in terms of where we are as a district?
I think it is valuable. I think it's useful to have this. I just want that other chart with me when I talk to people about it.
Well, the question is, if on this scorecard all the arrows were pointing up in green, would we have a problem with it? Would we think that it is a true indicator of how our kids are doing?
Not without the state comparison. I don't think so. That we'd still be lulling ourselves, you know, on the positive side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're doing great. Well, the whole state went up by even more, you know. And so it gives us a context.
We did change coloring on the arrows to be more in line with what many of our other presentations show. Last year's scorecard, they were all green, one color.
Right.
So this certainly probably pulls that out more obvious. But green also has a message to people about being more positive with things typically in our presentations in the district. And we didn't want to mislead people that way, confuse them at all.
There is no counter on a PDF document on the web, so we don't have to see.
It's not something that's been right front center on the web page, so. Well, we can certainly work with your feedback and bring it back to you. It was slated as an action item, but I'm assuming that you would like to look at it further as we work and refine it.
So the two I just looked at don't have any arrows on them, they just have strings and percentages.
The two you looked at?
No, I just went up and grab, because we gave you a bunch of sample scorecards.
Mm-hmm. Other districts.
And then, right.
How many?
The ones that I'm just looking at out there either have blanks in them or don't have the arrows and such.
They just put out the numbers.
They just put the numbers.
Put the numbers.
The numbers.
Yeah. If the numbers are out there.
Dropping that column might be worth considering.
Yeah. Oh, we'll take a look at
that.
But I put a big note at the after 22 about something about a reference to the state data and trends is important in interpreting this data set.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll take a look at that, but maybe extract some of those or different lines because they aren't the same. If people look at that, you know, you got the same situation with your, you know, in the prior report, I loaded up the ELL data, and the whole test changed. I mean, the whole test changed. So,
do we have state data on every one of those items?
Yep.
So that'd be another option, so, is to have a column that's in the state results.
We do on the HSP kind of information, or we can get something close to it. When you look at the advanced placement information, or you look at that, the number of kids in advanced placement classes, when you get into that college and career readiness work, that's a little more difficult to answer. Mm-hmm. There are some things that are important to us, but I mean, we're looking at stuff up above, really.
The history of the information.
All right, we'll come back and help you do this. So, you're not going to take action on this tonight.
No.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're not.
And item 22 probably is too early. We put that on there because do we have that data already?
It's different data.
It's different data.
Well, and that's what we're dealing with, is those categories are changing.
Right.
It's like your grad calculations. The grad calcs are going to be different from year to year. And, you know, you want to show them in comparison, or you want to flip them on to a different line. Mm-hmm. Those are the tactical decisions we were wrestling with.
Yeah.
My choice was to show you what it looked like if they're all in the same line, so that you have essentially comparable areas of measurement, even if the measures are different. Mm-hmm. It's like using a whole different thermometer. Okay, so now you know what it looks like and you don't like it. Good.
Yeah.
We know what to do. We know the direction to take. That's all we need tonight.
Yeah, great. All right. We have completed our agenda. We're adjourned.
Everybody's out of here.
Yes. Yeah.
See you later.
Just him.